You know, you would think with our next guest that Willie would be telling me all the things that we're going to talk to him about on the Vanderbilt side of things. Mitch Light from Athlon Sports, Vanderbilt sideline reporter. But no, all Willie could talk about, Mitch, during the break was how he beat you in fantasy football this week.
As I explained to Willie via text, it's very difficult to win your fantasy game when A, your team stinks, and B, you remember at 12:25 that you haven't set your lineup yet.
Oh boy.
So, you know, if Willie needs to gloat, if that's what he needs to feel good about himself, I'm like a equivalent of an NBA team that's tanking and didn't tell the guys what time that like the game started, so half my roster wasn't even there. So, Willie, congratulations to you.
The Colts sucked for luck. What are you doing? What are you sucking for?
Lack of interest, I think.
Okay, yeah, you sound a little bitter about your team.
I'm not that into it to begin with, and it's not that good to begin with. So I thought you were wanting to talk Yanks Indians series recap, but we can do that another time.
I've already made it in the last hour. My MLB postseason tank is empty. It's just empty. I can't pick myself up off the mat. I have not watched Stros, Yanks, Dodgers, Cubs. I can't do it right now. The tank's empty.
I don't blame you. I mean, MLB postseason's exhausting, and the game's last.
It really
forever.
Is.
Each pitch is excruciating, and if you're watching your team, you're invested so much. Like, I'm not watching the National League. Like, I watch every pitch of the Yankees, and like, I just don't. You know, I'll check on the scores, but it's hard to devote that much time to watching baseball to begin with, and then I don't have the energy to do it.
I'll be like Dabo Swinney. I'm going to go over into your locker room right now, Mitch Light. I'm going to congratulate you. I'm going to be like Dabo.
Thank you. It's nice when a small market team like the Yankees can get a young group together like this and find a way to win some games.
Okay, let's move on. All right, something else I've been talking about. I want to get your perspective because you're down there on the sidelines every game. You see it up close and personal. I never thought I would say this about a Derek Mason defense, because we've spent so much time praising since he took over the reins on that side of the ball and how good they've been. That's been really like the least of their worries. Mitch, this team can't tackle, and this team gets run over. I mean, they need to hit the weight room. I've never seen a team that gets bowled over so much than Vanderbilt's defense. What is going on? They can't stop anybody right now.
Yeah, I think the tackling is a good point, and that's something that the coaching staff and Derek Mason has been preaching to his guys, you know, basically starting with the Alabama game. It's difficult for me to sit here and say I didn't play the sport, but I can imagine when you play a team like Alabama and they're so quick, big, and strong, maybe you fall into some bad habits. And Norman Jordan on our broadcast is, you know, who's watching the games from up in the press box, has said repeatedly, you know, last month that he sees Vanderbilt guys kind of leaving their feet to make tackles, which is, you know, fundamentally not what you're supposed to do. So that's been an issue. I know Derek Mason's frustrations have been with sort of alignment, breakdowns, and tackling, which are three basic things that, you know, you need to do to have a good defense. So, yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, basically ever since the Kansas State game, it's been bad on defense. You know, the Florida game, look what Florida did, 34 points, whatever the score was there.
38,
Florida struggled with other games. And Ole Miss is actually a really talented offensive team. Shea Patterson's good, and the wide receivers, I think, are the best in the SEC. But that doesn't, you know, 57 points is a whole different matter. So, yeah, it's obviously the number one issue with this team right now, because they're good enough offensively. They've made enough progress offensively to win some games. But defense is not getting it done. And Willie, I don't know if you remember me saying, I think I sat with you guys or was on, I had a feeling, a suspicion over the summer that this team might be better offensively than defensively, and I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Right now, it's a bad thing.
Yes, I do remember that.
I remember this time last week asking Coach Mason, you're very good about, you know, your speeches and your message, and these kids have bought into your message, but you've gone through a difficult stretch and they've been beat down. How do you mentally get them up? I remember asking him that very question last week, and it looks abundantly clear this bye week could not come at a better time, because I think there is some real mental fatigue after this stretch that they've had over the last four or five games.
Yeah, and I interviewed Ralph Webb, the post-game locker room, and it's not an ideal place to, you know, get the best answers. It's right after the game in the locker room. There's a lot of people around, but I asked him about the mental. You know, you can look at the stretch of playing four top 25 teams, or at the time they were ranked in the top 25 and going on the road. You know, obviously that's physically difficult to do, but how difficult is it, you know, mentally? And he kind of just, you know, brushed it off, saying you got to be ready to play every game, which is obviously true. But it's a grueling sport, and, you know, it's when things aren't going well, it makes it even more difficult. So I agree, Darren. You know, this, you know, you could argue that they really could have used the break after the Georgia game and kind of reset for the stretch drive. That obviously wasn't the case. So I'll be interested to see after a week off, you know, if they're refreshed and rejuvenated defensively, because obviously they need to play much better to win some games.
Mitch Light is the college football editor at AthlonSports.com, also the sideline reporter on Vanderbilt's radio for football. And so, Mitch, where do you think they start? This is, you know, you have an opportunity now to reset, and you've got a lot of games down the stretch here that, you know, if Vanderbilt plays the best that they have played, you got to feel like they're going to be in all of them. There's still a lot you can accomplish. So where do you think Derek Mason starts?
Great question. I mean, I think a lot of it is with the tackling. And I asked Warren Phelan, the linebackers coach, last week in a pregame interview, you know, is there a lot you can do during the week, during the season, to practice tackling? Because you hear a lot of football people say, you know, with the rules now and there's less full contact and practice, you know, sometimes that's what, you know, teams struggle with. But he said, sure, there's things you can do, fundamentals, drills and all that stuff. So they've got to tackle better. I think they've had some, you know, they've had obviously had some communications issues. I don't know if you guys saw the game.
Yeah, a couple blown coverages where a guy pops wide.
Ryan White, a fifth-year senior who I think is, you know, one of the best players on this team, was out with an injury, and they had a redshirt freshman in who missed some calls. There was some miscommunication. They're not saying that they would have stopped that possession, but obviously when you let a guy break free 30 yards behind the defense, that makes it a lot easier. So I think there's some things there. And there seem to be some alignment issues too. You know, you saw it first in the Georgia game with teams going quickly and trying to get the calls in, you know, getting the defensive line in the right position too. So, I'm just interested to see, because, you know, this team started the season so strong. You know, Middle Tennessee, we all agree that at full strength, that's a really good offensive team. And Kansas State's struggled lately, but they've been without Jesse Earth, their starting quarterback. So it wasn't like they just piled up big, solid defensive numbers against some really bad teams. There is something there on that defense. I'm sure it's obviously not as good as the numbers indicated early, and hopefully it's not as bad as the numbers indicate in these last five games.
Where do you see the offensive line play at this point? I know that's something that Derek Mason was troubled with during that rough stretch. Last week, they popped some big runs. Ralph Webb's numbers looked a little bit better. They did score 35 points. So are they making progress there?
I think they are. And they through the first four games, they were rotating guards. Basically, you know, they had four guys. They were looking for the right combination. And I don't know if they settled on, you know, Sage Young at left tackle and E.J. Delarippa at right left guard and right guard as the best, or like how much separation there is. But at some point 3 weeks ago, they decided they've got to stick with five guys, and that's what they've had. So they've had the same guard, same tackles, and then Bruno Reagan at center the last three games, just hoping to get some continuity on the offensive line. And for the most part, I thought the offensive line's done a decent job protecting Kyle Shermer this year, but struggled in the run blocking. Last week, as you mentioned, Willie, it was the best they've done run blocking, first play of the game. Ralph Webb springs for a long run. His numbers were really good, but they had trouble protecting Kyle Shermer. Now, Ole Miss is, they're not a very good defensive team, but they've got some quick defensive linemen. Maybe that was some of the problems. Maybe they need to max protect more. But I do think there's been some progress there, and I think that was, you know, that was a good sign that for the first time this year, they were able to open some holes for Ralph Webb. So I would expect this group of five to, you know, remain the starters and just, again, hope to establish more continuity as the season progresses.
Mitch, one on basketball. I know you follow this, and this is obviously a huge story for the coming weeks, but I know how a lot of Vanderbilt fans have been following the recruitment of Darius Garland, and he's such a great story, great player that's getting attention from all around the country. Any any feel right now on the vibe of Vanderbilt's chances?
Yeah, I mean, I think they remain pretty strong. You know, went on his official visit to Kentucky last weekend. I think he's still planning on going to Indiana and UCLA, but all of the, you know, so-called recruiting experts and others would definitely put Vanderbilt in the lead for Darius Garland. And the exciting thing for Vanderbilt, there's other prospects. You know, if Darius does, in fact, decide to commit to Vanderbilt, there's other guys, other top 15-type guys that might follow. So it's a, you know, they've got one commitment, a wing player from South Carolina, but they've got some other scholarships open that they're obviously hoping Darius Garland takes. So it'll be a interesting next month, I guess, signing days in early November. So it could be some good news for Vanderbilt. But obviously, when you're competing against schools like Kentucky, Indiana, UCLA, you know, nothing's done until that factor
right.
comes through.
It's the Yogi Berra. It's not over until it's over. What do you think that the fact that he decided to not take the visit to Duke, was that a positive for Vanderbilt?
Well, you know, it's funny because this, you know, Vanderbilt's been recruiting Darius Garland since his freshman year, and Kevin Stallings, you know, was here. And all along, the word in the street, you know, I just know from talking to others, I don't know the kid at all, but was that, you know, he's kind of enamored with Duke, and if Duke ever offered, they'd be tough to beat. And then, you know, they offered, and all along it was Vanderbilt and Duke seemed to be there. And then for whatever reason, maybe it was they got another commitment from another point guard, but even after that, they seemed to still be in the mix. You know, about a month ago, seemingly, they just agreed to break up, so to speak, you know, that he wasn't going to visit there. So if you would have told me 3 months ago that he wasn't going to visit Duke and Duke was out of the equation, I would have said, sure, Vanderbilt's in great shape. But it appears that Indiana maybe has been the kind of replaced Duke as the other competitor for Vanderbilt. So I wasn't surprised when he didn't visit Duke because I'd heard, you know, that Indiana was in the mix as well.
On the way out, we were lobbying for you to get some new swag last time you spoke with us. Did you get any? Did Vanderbilt hook you up or no?
I did not, Darren. Evidently, Dang you do it. Not carry the influence that you
wow.
think you do.
Mm.
So I'll just leave it at that. You know,
I'm gonna have to lose sleep.
He's
what
not
I'm gonna have to do
that.
Is I'm gonna have to take some measures behind the scenes. Then I'm gonna have to set up some private meetings. I thought on air would work, but clearly I need to take it to the next level.
That's obvious, and hopefully we can get this done because you know it's getting a little chillier now.
It is getting chillier. Yes.
I'm gonna need an extra layer.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that. Thanks as always, Mitch.
Thanks, guys.
Mitch Light, Athlon Sports sideline reporter for Vanderbilt. Fourth and final hour of 3D, including an announcement we'll make right from the top. You're going to want to hear this. We want to congratulate someone who's part of our broadcast team. We'll do that next on 3D.